What's going on, guys? Chad here, bringing you the Liver Shot, bringing you the best in combative sports from your local scene to the mainstream. Today we have with us Saba Navindi Nashat. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. It's a sunny Sunday here in the South. I would say, like, you know, down there, but you've moved.
Yeah, I moved to Texas. It's hot here.
I have actually been to Texas, but not since I was like a kid. I was real young, but I remember it being really, really dry and hot.
Yeah, it's dry and hot, but I like it. I mean, it's not easy, but I know like some people has very hard time with hot, but I'm okay with it. Yeah.
I like the seasons. Do they have like all four seasons like we do up here, or is it basically just hot and a little bit cooler?
No, it actually gets very cold in winter. It's like it has that cold wind.
Yeah.
But I mean, we don't have that much. I mean, I just been here for a year, but I didn't see any snow or anything. Of course, they don't have that much snow, but it's cold in winter, and like it's basically 6 months of the year is cold and 6 months is hot. So
that ain't too awful bad.
Like, yeah, it's not that bad.
I ain't been there. I know there is a lot of MMA scene down there. I know there's a lot of old school camps down there. Who are you with now?
So I'm working with James Week and Victor Altamirano. And they both been, James Week been in UFC for a long time, and he was top 10. And Victor Altamirano is a current fighter in UFC. Yeah.
Okay. So you've literally got some really legit fighters down there that you're being able to work with.
Yeah, I've been so lucky.
That is huge, because I know you were doing Muay Thai and kickboxing. Like, are you wanting to push more towards MMA now?
Well, I always know when I was in Atlanta, my MMA coach, Sifu Brandon Beard, he introduced me MMA, and I'm doing it for maybe around 3 years now, but I never fought in MMA, and
right. We
still don't know if we're gonna go for it or not, but I keep doing it. I just like the science of it. Yeah.
Well, I know you got the I should have said it earlier, but you had the strawweight belt in the NFC, and then you won amateur of the year. Like, you've got a steady path to go pro. Is there plans to go pro soon, or you're just kind of waiting on an offer?
No, we had planned to go pro for my next fight, which is in September 16th, but we couldn't find a good opportunity, so we're still looking, but it was actually the plan to go pro. So we see what happened. Yeah, but I'm ready.
Well, I usually don't have time to really look up a lot of background video, this, that, and other. I just get lucky a lot of times that I tend to know the fighters that I end up talking to. But I caught some videos of you working out and doing, look like, strength and conditioning exercises. It looks like you're staying in the gym and staying ready to go. I mean, are you ready to take a short notice fight if one comes up?
I'm always like, I always been in a sport. I loved it, and I always try to be active and looking for opportunity to catch it. Yeah.
Well, I think we don't talk about it enough, but everybody brings up how many fights like Donald Cerrone had in the UFC, and it was because he was always in shape. He was always ready to go on a moment's notice if they called him. And I think that's a huge thing that a lot of amateur fighters don't realize, is if you stay in shape, you don't have to get in shape. and then you can take
those, yeah, it's easier, right? So as long as like if you get longer rest, it get harder to go back to it, right? So yeah, and the hardest part of the camp, I think it's just make your mind ready for it, and because you like combine everything together and think about your techniques. But if your body be ready, you don't have the hard part of that. So right. You're ready. It's just your mind and your technique. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. And I thought the same way before. I've seen some fighters that use the camp just to try to get in shape or just to try mm-hmm. to get their weight under control. And I feel like they lose so much time that they ought to be concentrating on really sharpening their tools and really getting, like you said, their mind right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in a camp, of course, it's a little more pressure. But yeah, it's I try to stay ready. Yeah.
It doesn't look like you cut a lot of weight. About what kind of weight are you cutting?
No, I actually don't cut a lot of weight. I'm well, of course, if you want to go for MMA fight, you need to cut more. But for kickboxing, for Muay Thai, you don't really need to cut that much. Of course, if you be bigger, it's easier, right?
Right.
But yeah, but I don't usually cut a lot of weight. Yeah.
So I know we were talking the other day, messages back and forth, and trying to get this set up. And I'm definitely mm-hmm. going to take this time to apologize. I was supposed to have you on, what, like 6 months ago? And our scheduling kept falling through or something, and I couldn't get you on. But what got you started on down this path? What did you start first, like taekwondo, kickboxing?
So I started with Kyokushin, karate Kyokushin. Uh-huh. And it's about when I think I was about like 12 years old when I started, and I was so serious about it. Actually, I loved it, and I was always looking for tournaments, and yeah, it started from there, and I just keep going. Yeah.
What made you want to say, okay, I'm actually going to pursue this as a career?
My brother started, and I got into it. I started, and I always been into a sport and being so active. And then when I started martial art, I really liked it. And then I kept going, and I had a few tournaments, but unfortunately, it wasn't a lot of support. It wasn't like organization or that you go pro, you sell ticket. It wasn't like that. So I kept going till like I was like 18, and then I was like, if I want to keep going and make money through it, I have to become a coach, which it wasn't something that I was looking for that time. Right. So I wanted to fight. So I was like, okay, let me go to college for now. But I always knew I'm going to go back to it. So I went to college for 4 years, so I stopped doing it, and then I went to University of Art, and then after I graduated, I decided to looking for a better opportunity and come to America, which I was so lucky, and my parents really support me, and it was a very hard process. It was a few years process, but I finally made it.
Now, this is something I get in the conversation with actually way more than anybody would believe, because I've been working with a lot of other companies here recently, and they have a lot of people flying in from other countries. Like, I've been working with people from Brazil, Colombia, a lot from mm-hmm. Germany, a few from Britain. Did you learn English over there, or did you wait until you got over here to start learning?
Well, we always had English and stuff in our school because it's an international language, right?
Right.
But it wasn't like, no, my English wasn't that good till I came here and I learned here everything. Yeah, because I wanted to go to college here. Uh-huh. So I had to like know English very well. So when I came, I started studying and I learned it here. Yeah.
Well, I've been told it's easier to learn when you're completely surrounded by it. That it's
course.
A little bit harder to do in school versus when you're around people speaking it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Because I remember I tried to study and like it was very like complicated words that like people never use it here.
Right.
So yeah. So when you're in an environment, it's much easier. Yeah.
Yeah, we was talking about that the other day. I'm around a lot of Spanish. And they speak it so much faster, and it's a lot of slang that I didn't learn in school, and I took 2 years of Spanish. I could read it if it's proper, but somebody just speaking, I could only catch like a word here and a word there. I couldn't really understand bit by bit what they were speaking of. And I was like, I bet that's what they hear when I'm talking, is they don't catch a lot of it because of the dialect or just how twangy my accent is.
Yeah, but you kind of understand the whole point of what they say. Maybe you don't understand every word, but you catch it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got over here, you went to school, you've furthered your fight career. Where are you wanting to go? Like are you wanting to look at like ONE Championship, the UFC, Invicta? Like, where are you wanting to go with this, or is this something you're just kind of waiting to see?
I love ONE Champion, but we are also looking for karate combat. And but I really I trust my coach, and he always has something. So he bring it up and we talk about it and we make a decision from it. But karate combat is more in my mind for now. So
okay. We
see what happened. Yeah.
Well, I know. I mean, so many people think you just need to jump full on into your career and that's it. I mean, there's a lot of good fighters out there that made a huge career somewhere else and really waited on their MMA career until they were at a whole new level. I bring up mm-hmm. Wonder Boy a lot, that he was like big in the karate and kickboxing way before he went full out MMA. Like, he did a whole career just in kickboxing. I feel like that kind of gives you an upper leg on other opponents, because you're getting to practice combat sports in front of mm-hmm. people, which like helps with your nerves and whatnot, and you're getting to work on your striking, and win or lose, it doesn't hurt your record as far as MMA goes.
So that's what we're thinking. That's why I keep practicing in MMA, but I want to feel fully comfortable with the striking, because that's what I'm doing for years.
Right.
And like grappling is more new to me. So we want to bring it to the point that I'm really confident at it, and I'm not worried about it. And we think about my weight, because I'm a shorter fighter, right? I'm supposed to fight in 105 because I'm short, but we fight in 115 because there's hard to find an opponent.
Right.
Yeah, so.
I know a lot of smaller opponents, be it male or female, the smaller mm-hmm. guys and girls end up having to fight overseas, like in Thailand or Japan or Asia, because there's a lot more opportunity for smaller fighters over there.
Yeah, that's why I like One Champion. I'm thinking about that. Or Invicta, like they have a smaller fighter.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can see you not wanting to constantly have to give up a weight advantage if you don't absolutely have to.
Have to cut?
Yeah.
Yeah. It has some advantage, and because I don't have to cut, so I'm always fresh, I'm always ready, but it also has some problems too. Yeah.
Sure. So why I got you on here, I know it's Sunday and I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but I always like asking this from somebody that's completely on the other side of the world. What shocked you the most when you got here? What was the most different to you when you got over here?
Well, English was, the language in English was one of the hardest ones, and then it's just the culture. I mean, I thought, okay, I come to America and I figure out their culture and I adapt to it, but it was hard for me to figure that, oh, they don't really have a specific culture. It's like everybody from everywhere came to here, and you just have to figure out how each people think different, and it's not very specific thing that you say, okay, people treat like that, they right. act like this here. It's not, it's just everybody are different. It's a free country, everybody can think different, can think, have, believe on different things. So I was like, okay, I got it now.
I told yeah. somebody that before, that each state that we have is like a completely different country. If you're
exactly,
if you're in
right.
Florida, it's completely different from South Carolina. And if you go all the way to California, you'll think you're on the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, I enjoyed your time today. Like I said, I don't want to keep you too long. I know it's Sunday and I know you're busy, but we will have to get back and talk to you again, because there's so many other things I'd like to follow up with. And especially when you get a fight coming up and we can actually talk about your training camp and about your next fight.
Of course, yes. Thank you for giving me that time.
Not a problem. Is there anybody specific you would like to thank? Coaches, training partners?
Sure. I wanna say thank you to my family, my friends, my fiance. They helped me a lot. And my coaches from anywhere, from Iran, I learned a lot of things from them, from Shion Rahimi Far, Shion Takahashi, Nagis Bakhtiari, Sifu Brandon Beard, and my current coach James Vick and Victor Altamirano. I really appreciate all your help. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, make sure to tag us in any of your fight news, or if anybody in your camp has fights coming up, by all means, tag the Liver Shot on Instagram and on Facebook, and I would love to talk to you more in the future as well.
Of course. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, till the next time, thank you, and tune back in.
Have a-